from WNYC in New York. This is a convention call-in. Good evening, everyone. I'm Brian Lehrer. For most of this week, you're hearing the politicians and the pundits say what they have to say. This hour, it's for you to talk to everybody out there and for some of you to talk to each other, perhaps. You know, one of the biggest knocks against Donald Trump comes from the many people who see him as a bigot. Let's not mince words. He has said hateful things with respect to so many groups that the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, a leader in his own party, has accused Trump on one occasion of textbook racism. And it's one of the biggest reasons, as most of you know, that so many Republicans are not even attending this convention. So our first question this hour is for any Donald Trump supporters. We will make this one a multiple choice question. Trump supporters, do you think A, he's not making bigoted statements? B, he is making bigoted statements, but he doesn't really mean them? C, they are bigoted statements, but you're voting for him anyway? Or D, none of the above, an explanation I haven't thought of? Call us at 800-543-2543. That's 1-800-543-2543. Trump supporters, 1-800-543-2543. Trump supporters, not bigoted statements. Bigoted statements, but he doesn't really mean them. Bigoted statements, but you're voting for him anyway. Or none of the above, an explanation I haven't thought of. Call in at 1-800-543-2543. Just count it down after 1-800-543-2543. And here are some of the statements that have been in the news that have caught people's attention and drawn the charge of bigotry.
I have had horrible rulings. I've been treated very unfairly by this judge. Now, this judge is of Mexican heritage. I'm building a wall.
So no Mexican judge could ever be involved in a case that involves you?
He's a member of a society where, you know, very pro-Mexico, and that's fine. It's all fine.
But except that you're calling into question his heritage.
I think he should recuse himself.
My question is, if it were a Muslim judge, would you also feel like they wouldn't be able to treat you fairly because of that policy of yours?
It's possible, yes. Yeah, that would be possible, absolutely.
Isn't there sort of a tradition, though, in America that we don't judge people by who their parents were, where they came from?
I'm not talking about tradition. I'm talking about common sense, okay?
So you know those, and you know this one that launched his campaign.
When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're not sending you. They're not sending you. They're sending people that have lots of problems, and they're bringing those problems with us. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people.
Here's Trump on John McCain.
He's not a war hero.
He's a war hero.
He's a war
Five
hero.
And a half years
He's a war hero because he was captured. I like people that weren't captured, okay? I hate to tell you.
Here's Trump on Megyn Kelly.
She starts asking me all sorts of ridiculous questions. And, you know, you could see there was blood coming out of her eyes, blood coming out of her wherever.
Here's Trump on a disabled reporter.
Written by a nice reporter. Now the poor guy, you got to see this guy. Oh, I don't know what I said. I don't remember. He's going like, I don't remember. Maybe that's what I said.
Trump mocking a disabled guy. So some of Donald Trump's ungreatest hits, and those are just some. We'll play some more later when we reset the conversation. So with a convention in Cleveland underway to officially nominate the guy who said those things, we'll have a call in now for Trump supporters. Do you think A, these are not bigoted statements? B, they are bigoted statements, but he doesn't really mean them? C, they are bigoted statements, but you're voting for him anyway? D, none of the above, an explanation I haven't thought of. Call us at 1-800-543-2543, 1-800, then count it down, 543-2543. Trump supporters only for the first part of this hour. And, you know, this is what a lot of America is saying about your guy. So if you want him to win, step up and tell us why these things shouldn't disqualify him in swing voters' minds from being, of all things, president of the United States. Not a real estate developer, not a TV entertainer, president of the United States. Now, as your calls are coming in, we'll start with Republican consultant J.C. Polanco of New York City, seen frequently on TV in New York. He is of Dominican heritage, I believe, and used to be on the city's Board of Elections. J.C., thanks for a few minutes. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Brian, big fan of yours. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you very much. You're Republican, you're Dominican. Are you voting for Trump?
No, I will not be voting for Trump. You know, I've been very clear. Those recordings that you just put on about what Trump has said in the past has made me cringe I think about those often. And in June of last year, when he announced and he made those statements about Mexicans, I knew I couldn't vote for this man. And I've been very clear since. I'm a good Republican. I've been a Republican for a long time. I've knocked on thousands of doors for Republicans, as you well know. And I work very, very closely with Republicans. But this is a man who just became a Republican a few years ago, maybe three, and single-handedly has destroyed all of the hard work that so many of us minority Republicans have been working on, and that's been to include more people in our party, to make it a bigger tent. And when he said what he said about Mexicans in June, about how they're rapists and how they bring drugs and all these terrible things, I knew I could not vote for him. And today I say the same thing over and over again. For me to consider even remotely voting for him, he'd have to apologize to the Mexican people.
So what
and then he'd
does
have
it...
to apologize to the Muslim people. Brian, this is a serious thing here. And I'm not in Cleveland because I'm very disappointed with the fact that this is our candidate.
So, JC, what does it say about the Republican Party in America, the rank and file, that it nominated this man with these attitudes by popular vote, more votes than any Republican has ever gotten in a primary season before?
Well, you know, those numbers are skewed, Brian. You know, we had more voters come out than ever before, but he didn't get the most percentage of any Republican to ever run for the office before. So we just had a very exciting Republican primary. We had 17 candidates running. We had one guy that's on TV weekly who's known to everyone. I'm from New York. Everything is Trump. I mean, Trump's name is royalty and gold in New York. This guy's so popular, he rents his name out on buildings and gets paid millions for it. He's a very powerful and popular person with a television show, and he had 100% name ID going into this. And for us to make the claim that the Republican Party voted for this guy, it's one of those things that bothers me, because yes, it's true, but no, it's not true. What I mean by that, Brian, is that because he had 17 candidates, he kept squeaking by in many of these early states with 32%, 33% of the vote, and before you know it, little by little, he takes out all of these other candidates along the way and becomes the candidate for the Republican Party for the presidency, but not winning the majority of the vote. He never did. So we have a guy who's our nominee who did not get the majority of the vote, and it's far behind Romney, far behind Bush, far behind Bush 1. So it's a tough thing, and I think the RNC needs to reexamine its primary process, and this is something that needs to be spoken about. We need to close the primary to just Republicans, and we have to make sure that the calendar for the primary states, the early states at least, are reflective of the American population, not these rural, small states in the middle of nowhere that are making such important decisions.
JC, I got to go in a second, but you think if they close the primary, there's going to be a smaller percentage of people who are comfortable with racism like that?
Well, you see, you just threw another question at me about racism. I mean, I'm disgusted with it. I'm talking about the fact that you can have a person like Donald Trump win a primary with not having the majority of the vote. I think that I know that he won many of these elections by having blanks and independents and people that just registered Republican the day of the election simply to come out and vote for Donald Trump, because what he says excites them.
J.C. Polanco, Republican consultant in New York City, thank you for starting us off.
Thank you so much, Mike.
All right. And again, our multiple choice options for those of you who are Trump supporters. A, these are not bigoted statements. B, these are bigoted statements, but he doesn't really mean them. C, they are bigoted statements, but you're voting for him anyway. And D, none of the above, an explanation I haven't thought of. Let's go to Tim in Vienna, Virginia. Hi, Tim. You're on the air. Thanks so much for calling.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good. So I voted for number one because I do not think they're bigoted statements. I think they're accurate statements.
Accurate.
And I'll give you an example. First of all, about the judge. He did not say the judge should recuse himself because he's Mexican. He said he should recuse himself because he's a member of La Raza, which is a racist Mexican organization, racist Central American organization. He's a member of that group, and that's why he should have recused himself.
That's not what Trump said. I didn't hear La Raza in there. And then when he was pressed by John Dickerson on CBS in the second clip, would you say the same thing about any Muslim judge? He said, yeah, maybe I would. That's common sense.
Maybe I would. He said maybe it's possible is what he said, which is a legitimate statement to make. It is maybe possible. We just saw Ginsburg, right?
Yeah, Ginsburg.
She made an outrageous statement, and she showed that she's
that was not a good thing, but that doesn't excuse Trump.
But that's an but it's an example of a judge who shows that they are biased and probably should recuse himself. That's the example I'm trying to make. The other thing is what.
But that
never
judge didn't do anything from the bench that showed himself to be biased, right? And I don't know his relationship with LaRaza, but if he was a member of a group that's a mainstream, you call it a racist group, it's a mainstream activism group for the interests of Latinos, and there are certainly, you know, affinity groups in every profession. So if he was in a Latino judges organization, which is, I think, what Trump said, well, there are people in Jewish judge organization, Christian, you know, there's the Federalist Society for conservative people in the judiciary, all kinds of affinity groups, right?
Well, what does LaRaza mean is one question, and the answer is the race. Secondly, this is a guy who gave a scholarship to an illegal immigrant. He gave him a scholarship to law school. I mean, that indicates to me he should be recused himself. He doesn't have, that's even illegal. But
Tim,
anyway.
Thank you very much. And I don't know what the status of that person was at the time he got the scholarship to law school. I believe that was a legal admission to law school, just to be clear. But Brad in Fairfax, Virginia. Brad, you're on the air. Thanks so much for calling in.
Hey, thank you.
So what do you think? Bigoted statements, not bigoted statements, bigoted statements, but you don't care. Where are you?
So I'm at your B, Brian. I think that there are bigoted statements, but that Trump personally did not believe them. I think it's the evolution of the Republican dog whistle that we've had for, ironically, since '68, where they went from overt racism to covert racism to even more covert racism, and now people are feeling that they're allowed to be racist again in mainstream politics.
So if he's saying so many things about people in so many groups and he doesn't mean them, then what does that mean? Does that mean, must that not mean, that he's purposely baiting all these people because he thinks it's going to help him politically?
Yeah, it motivates a base for him. As an outsider, he didn't come in with a built-in base the way that a Ted Cruz or
right.
a Jeb Bush does.
I can't tell if you're a Trump supporter, Brad, but if your theory is right, does that make it any better? Because he's still going out there and being willing to use bigotry in the public square for political ends. Maybe that's even worse.
So perhaps. I mean, it depends on where you come down on it. I happen to come down on he did it for his own political gain, and that these people who are the rabid, we'll call them racist Trump supporters, now will feel disappointed in 4 years in the event that he won and didn't act on any of the more absurd things that he
right.
has claimed.
And just to satisfy my curiosity, are you one of those Trump supporters?
Oh, no, not. I look at what he says racially as a means to an end, not a internal belief. If I found it to be an internal belief, that would change my mind.
Right. But you are voting for him, though.
Yes,
because
I intend to vote for him.
Because using it for political means gives you that that comfort level that you need. Okay, very interesting. Brad, thank you very much. Let's go next to Sal in Baltimore. Sal, you're on the air. Thank you so much for calling in.
No, thank you for taking my call. I would first like to say that it is a bigoted statement, but I'm still going to vote for him. I'm not white, and I'll tell you what, he knows exactly what buttons to push with people. To be totally honest with you, he is a racist, and all of his supporters are either blind or too stupid to understand that he is. That's how he feels.
But wait a minute. You're going to vote for him anyway?
Yeah, I'm going to vote for him because I want change. He's going to end up totally messing everything up, which would force us to become together as a nation and fix it. He's going to bring out the bad and the ugly and everything. And there are going to be people that like the status quo that we're in, which we're teetering into chaos.
So you're not kidding about this. You're actually voting for Trump on the theory that he's going to make things so bad that it's going to be a wake-up call for everybody else and the country's going to come together.
Of course, because Hillary Clinton is worse. She's going to just take – She took everything. She's a liar. She took everything from Wall Street, provides no transparency. Now she has all the, like, I was a Democrat. Now I'm a independent because they're just a party for nothing. And I know the Republican Party is a racist party. I know this, but they're too stupid to see their own faults. So, that's why I know a new political movement will emerge from their just carelessness and greed.
Sal, very interesting theory. Thank you very much for chiming in. Tom in Milford, Pennsylvania. Hi, Tom. You're on the air. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me. I just don't find the language that offensive. And, I think it's really a semantic issue. With the interpretation of language that is sort of at the base of this, the minutia of picking apart single words that everybody has different meanings for, including the word racism, is fairly absurd. And
down the things, and you know the Megyn Kelly story about his use of blood coming out of her whatever.
You know the
John McCain thing. Why aren't the veterans so... and maybe you're a veteran, so offended by him saying, especially if they were prisoners of war, I prefer people who are not, or people who are disabled and having them make fun. You know the video of how he was, like, flapping his arms with somebody.
Right, yeah, this is my point. He has the right to communicate any way he wants.
He has the right
to run for president,
and he has
the right to be interpreted by anybody else any way he wants.
Correct.
Not that anybody else does.
So I'm asking you.
Let it be. And let's see who wins. I think the issue beyond language is action. What happens when people actually do things in their lives that might have an effect on other people, might actually matter. If people interpret language improperly, they're always going to have a problem with what other people are trying to communicate to them. I just don't see it as that offensive. And quite honestly, I think if people were a little bit more introspective about the grand humor that pervades their lives, there might be a little bit better understanding between some people on these types of issues.
You might find humor in that. So let me challenge you in one other way. There's an element of white privilege here, maybe white male privilege. Isn't there a black or Latino person couldn't say equivalent things about whites and expect whites to find the humor in it and still take that person seriously? They'd be run out of politics if they were in politics, I think. Maybe the same thing of a woman about a man. But Trump can do it and thrive, and you and others can say, oh, well, I hear it, but it's not that bad. Is that a bit of white male privilege, in your opinion?
No, I think there's an absurdity to the term itself. Again, it's about individuals taking care of their own business. But you can go all over Twitter, which I don't have a Twitter account for political reasons. Facebook, same thing, no,
uh-huh.
for political
right,
issues.
Of course.
But where blacks are just attacking white people for being white and attacking.
Nobody's excusing that. But if they were running for president, then they would be scrutinized for it, right?
Exactly, and that's the point. We should find someone better, and that's the point of the system. Is let's let people do what they have to do. They have the right to do it, and if other people think that it's a problem, then we should find better people.
Tom, thank you very much for chiming in. All right, Sim in Randolph, New Jersey. Sim, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for taking my call. I will go for the option C. I do believe that everything that Trump has said is really offensive. I love Obama, the way he speaks. I voted for Obama twice. So
but
you can
we have 30 seconds before a break. You're voting
for Trump anyway. It is a vote against Hillary. I think the FBI director, Comey, has given the indictment against Hillary has to be given by the people.
Trump is a bigot, but what Hillary did is worse. That's where you come down.
What Hillary did is worse, and just increasing taxes on the very rich is not going to solve every problem that the country has.
Sim, thank you very much. It's our convention call-in, and we continue. from WNYC in New York. It's a convention call-in. I'm Brian Lehrer. We've been inviting Trump supporters to call in and tell us your feelings about the talk of Trump being a bigot. That's been pretty central to the national discussion this primary season. Now let's get even more specific. There have been recent national polls that show Trump doing no worse than Mitt Romney did among Latinos in 2012. Romney got 27% of the Latino vote that year. There's a New York Times poll last week that shows Trump at 26%, same thing. There was a Quinnipiac poll that showed him getting 33% of the Latino vote, about a third. Only 1% of the black vote for Trump, by the way, in that poll. But despite all this stuff about Mexicans, a third of the Latino vote going to Trump, if that Quinnipiac poll from last month bears any resemblance to reality. So considering the kind of primary racism people are attributing to Trump about Latinos, we have to ask, how can that be? So our next call-in invitation is specifically for Latinos for Donald Trump. And who knows if there are any listening? Maybe those polls are all wrong. Keep asking the same four people. But let's find out. If you are of Hispanic or Latino, whichever term you prefer, heritage, and you're for Trump, how can you be? Call in and tell everybody at 1-800-543-2543. Latinos for Trump? Anyone out there? 1-800. Then count it down, 543-2543. 1-800-543-2543. And while your calls are coming in, you know, it's not just about Latinos. Here's what Trump said during the campaign to a room full of Jews.
I'm a negotiator like you folks. We're negotiators. Do you want to renegotiate deals? Some of us renegotiate deals. I would say about 99.9. Is there anybody that doesn't renegotiate deals in this room? This room negotiates. I want to renegotiate this room. Perhaps more than any room I've ever spoken to. Maybe more.
Some people laughed among those Jews. Some people applauded. Some people were absolutely grossed out. And then there was his curious relationship to denouncing the former Ku Klux Klan leader, David Duke. Here's what Trump said in the year 2000. He was considering running for president then, he said, year 2000, about why he was getting turned off to the Republican Party at that time.
When you say the party is self-destructing, what do you see as the biggest problem with the Reform Party right now?
Well, you've got David Duke just joined, a bigot, a racist, a problem. I mean, this is not exactly the people you want in your party.
Forgive me, I misspoke. I said Republican Party. He was considering running on that third party known as the Reform Party that year. And he said the party is falling apart. David Duke just joined. But this year, David Duke endorsed Trump. Trump's response?
I don't know anything about David Duke, okay? I don't know anything about what you're even talking about with white supremacy or white supremacists. So I don't know.
So why play footsie with David Duke and his supporters by feigning ignorance of him when he denounced him so explicitly in the past, obviously knew who he was and what he represented? So Latino Trump supporters, are you out there? Are you for Donald Trump despite all? Call in and we'll put you on the air at 1-800-543-2543. And while your calls are coming in, with us now for a couple of minutes is a really interesting contributor to the national conversation this year. Do we have J.D. Vance, by the way? We do. J.D. Vance grew up in the Rust Belt city of Middletown, Ohio, and the Appalachian town of Jackson, Kentucky. After high school, he joined the Marines and served in Iraq. He later went to law school at Yale and is now a principal at an investment firm in Silicon Valley, living in San Francisco. And he has contributed to National Review and the New York Times. There are not many people who can say they contribute to that liberal paper and that conservative magazine. So maybe you saw his op-ed in the Times called The Bad Faith of the White Working Class. J.D. Vance has a book called Hillbilly Elegy, A Memoir of a Family and a Culture in Crisis. It is at once his personal story and his analysis of white working class America in crisis. J.D. Vance, thanks for joining our special tonight. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
You want to jump right into your New York Times op-ed, The Bad Faith of the White Working Class, and how it relates to the people who are voting for Donald Trump?
Yeah. As I talked about in that op-ed, I think that what you're seeing in the white working class is a real decline of some of the most important institutions in their community And what I highlight in that op-ed is specifically the church. People think of the white working class as these very religious Bible Belt residents, but in fact they actually go to church much less often than folks in other parts of the country, people who are more politically liberal than they are. And the point that I make is that in fact as these community institutions have fallen apart and have stopped working and stopped being a part of their lives, they've turned to other things. And I think one of the things they've turned to, unfortunately, is the presidential candidacy of Donald Trump.
Unfortunately, because?
Well, I think that you're seeing it a lot with this convention, frankly. You know, if you take the aerial view of the white working class, what you really have is a social crisis, as I write in the book, of historic proportions. You have an opioid addiction epidemic that is taking children's lives by the hundreds and by the thousands in these communities. You have family chaos and dissolution, a number of other problems, and yet – at the convention, for the Republican Party that serves the white working class, you've heard literally nothing to address the problems that they're facing, the hurts that they feel. And I say this, frankly, as a conservative Republican, I've just been so disappointed at the policy solutions or lack thereof that have come out of the Republican Party in this age of Trump.
Do you think that the people you write about in the book are seeing the kind of bigoted statements to most people's eyes that we've been talking about this hour as not bigoted? Our first caller this hour was very candid and said, I don't see these statements as bigoted. I see these statements as true. Or bigoted, but they dismiss the seriousness of it. Oh, he's just getting attention and they feel they can do that. Or bigoted statements, but they're voting for him anyway because they feel so disadvantaged now. How would you analyze the folks you write about in those terms?
Yeah, I think it's tough to paint with a broad brush simply because some people that I speak to who are supporting Trump do see him as bigoted, but simply don't care. And others do, you know, don't see him as bigoted at all. I think that the way that it's most useful to think about this is that, for example, in my small town in Middletown, Ohio, about 100 kids last year died of a heroin overdose.
Wow.
And when that's the sort of problem that you're worried about, I think, frankly, there's less room or less, just less space to worry about bigotry, even though you may recognize it and see it as bad. Frankly, it's not the most important thing in your life. I think that's unfortunate, but I also think it's in some ways entirely predictable.
J.D. Vance's book is called Hillbilly Elegy, A Memoir of a Family and a Culture in Crisis. Thank you very much for giving us a few minutes.
Great. Thanks, Brian. Good
and
to talk to you.
One more quick guest as your Latino Trump supporter calls are coming in. This is a Latino Trump supporter, Juan Pablo Andrade, a Latino Republican consultant and activist. Juan, thanks very much for joining us. Welcome to our program.
Thank you very much for having me.
So I'll give you my multiple choice test that I've been giving the listeners this hour on the statements that you know what they are. A, these are not bigoted statements. B, they're bigoted statements, but he doesn't really mean them, so it's kind of okay. C, they're bigoted statements, but you're voting for him anyway. Or D, none of the above. Give me another explanation.
Okay, sounds good.
Which one? Pick one.
Which one for what?
Pick one.
Oh, okay. B.
B, they're bigoted statements, but he doesn't really mean them?
D as in David.
Oh, an explanation I haven't thought of. Well, how do you relate to these things that he said about the Mexican judge, about Mexicans coming into this country being rapists and drug dealers, and some of them are good people? What's your explanation?
Well, my explanation would be, I guess now that you explain it that way, I'd align myself more with A. I don't think that he meant that. I don't think, one, that it was not a bigoted response in his announcement running for president. One, I know many Latinos were offended by what he said. Me personally and my family and many others that I know were not offended. One, because we understood the message that he was trying to get across, saying that with the border how it is right now, we can't control who are the good ones and who are the bad ones coming coming here illegally. So we need to build this wall to make sure we could stop this form of illegal immigration, but at the same time promoting legal immigration. So people from Mexico come here legally and maybe making things a little bit easier for them to come here legally.
Mm-hmm. So that's your interpretation of that. How about the thing with the judge?
Also, Mr. Trump mentioning that he was of Mexican descent and that quite possibly he was automatically against Mr. Trump because of the fact that he's Mexican descent is one. I don't really agree with that, being that just because he's a Mexican descent, automatically, the fact that I knew of with that judge is that, yes, one, he was Mexican descent, so most Mexicans tend to be against the fact that Mr. Trump wants to build a wall. But also the fact that this judge has time and time again, not as a judge, but with people from his firm that he belonged to, raised money for Hillary Clinton, not just this year, but the past couple of years that he's been outspokenly against.
But that's
Mr.
not
Trump.
What Trump said. He said, "You're Mexican. I'm building a wall. You must be biased against me."
Well, yes, that is what Mr. Trump said. Let me put it this way: that if I was in Mr. Trump's shoes, that wouldn't be the exact way that I would say it. But at the same time, I do not think that it was a bigoted answer, and that, quite frankly, it doesn't really offend me, and I don't think that it should offend any other Latinos that he mentioned it that way.
All right. Juan Pablo Andrade, a Republican and Latino political activist in the New York area, thank you very much for giving us a few minutes. We do appreciate it. And we have a board full. We have 10 lines, and it's all full of Latino Trump supporters. So David in Cliffside Park, New Jersey, you're on the air. Hi, David. Thanks so much for calling.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Who are you? What do you think?
So I'm a Latino living in New Jersey, and I just have to say that everything everyone is saying is all wrong. Mexican is not a race. Mexican is a nationality. Louis C.K., the white comedian, the ginger comedian, he's Mexican by birth. No one's calling him Latino. When Trump says Mexicans are crossing the border, it's the same thing as saying Canadians are crossing the border.
I understand, but, in fact, that's why I was careful to frame this not as is Trump bigoted. I mean, is Trump racist, but rather is Trump bigoted? Because I understand that Latino technically isn't a race, and he's gone out and said these things about so many other groups, women, disabled people, all these things. So forget whether Latino is a race or more of a nationality group. Is it not bigoted?
I would say it's not bigoted.
You can tell us why.
Because Trump's a good guy and he's going to make America great again.
That's not an answer.
Basically it.
That's basically it. Okay, then I'm going to move on to Angelo in Rochester, New York. Angelo, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well.
What's your story?
Well, I just think the last two callers were spot on. And you like to use the word bigoted as a label of some kind, but think about the explicit intent of what Trump is saying. He was against illegal aliens that have convictions of breaking the law and repeated offenders that he's saying are also the type of people that are bringing over drugs across the border. Now, you have all races that are doing that. But he's saying the people that are coming from Mexico illegally are causing horrendous problems to our, justice system. And those are facts. Those are not opinions.
What's your own background, by the way?
Latino, so both my parents are immigrants, and I'm first generation.
Thank you very much. Lewis in Central New Jersey, you're on WNYC and a lot of other stations. Hi, Lewis.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Okay, so first of all, I'd just like to point out I'm of Cuban heritage, and what's interesting to me is that a lot of people use the word Latino as if, you're shocked that 33% of Latinos back Donald Trump. I'm shocked that the numbers are that low. I happen to work with Latino people from all over, and I would say that almost every single one of them at this point is pro-Trump. I work in the major metropolitan area as well. The Latino vote is not as unified and not as monolithic as people seem to think. I mean, I, as a Cuban descended person, could tell you that there's I was listening to a Spanish language radio program the other day where they were talking about the fact that people blame migrants for crimes and for sucking up tax dollars. And then they said, and don't forget, back a year, just a couple of years ago, was the refugiados, the refugees that were taking all of our money in Miami. And refugiados, they were referring to Cubans. This was in Spanish. Mm-hmm. This was a Mexican commentator. Then later, on a different program, and this is just recently this happened, they were talking about different types of accomplice arrested on the subway for doing something obscene. And a woman called in. She was Dominican, didn't want to talk about it, and then she blamed it all on Mexicans. This was on a Spanish-language popular radio program.
And what does that all add up to as it relates to Trump?
It means that people like myself have seen the effects of illegal immigration. And when I say Mexican people as well, because the majority of the people coming over right now are Central American, not Mexican. And we are all aware of this. Mexican people are aware of this. Mexico was the country through which my family came from Cuba. They gave us a safe passage. So I love the Republic of Mexico. I love Mexican people. But we know that when we go to these different areas, I can tell you 7-Eleven in my neighborhood had to close down because it became a market where Latino guys would come in the morning to looking for work. And they would block the entrance, and people like my parents refused to go in there anymore.
I hear you. And Louis, I'm gonna go just to get another caller on before our next break. But thank you very much. I hear everything you're saying. And let's go to Louis in South Florida. You're on the air. Hello, Louis. Thank you so much for calling in.
All right. Thank you for having me. I was actually against Trump from the very beginning. I've actually been Republican all my life. And Republican conventions really made a change on me. I've seen everything, you know, at face value. I happen to think that Trump's done a good job with the kids. I mean, every one of us that is a parent would want our kids to be emulating these kids. If there was anything bad about them, the media would have already jumped on it. As far as the Latino and the Mexican, you know, it's, we're talking about the bad people coming in, not the good. The good are welcome. He's welcoming the welcome. I actually, you know, I happen to...
He would deport. He says he would deport everybody who's here illegally, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
The good, well, see, I think anybody that's got a record, you know, that would be, you know, I mean...
Collateral damage,
you know?
Right, but that's not his policy. He's deport you if you're here illegally, whether or not you have a record.
Okay, I mean, that might have been taken out of context. I doubt you know, that's going to be...
And he hasn't been talking about it lately. I'll give him that. But the convention is working for you. That's really interesting. So that's exactly what they were hoping for last night, that the fact that his kids have come out really impressively and really respect him, and they were defending him as not a racist and et cetera, that had an effect on you last night, right?
That and the fact that the FBI, I mean, I saw when the Republican with the Congress were questioning the FBI guy, and the comment that the FBI guy said, well, we don't put people in prison because we think they're guilty. You know, when you go before a jury, if there's a doubt, that's what it is. It's about a doubt. You know,
I think he said because they're careless. But, Louis, thank you very much for chiming in. It's our convention call-in. We continue in a minute.
Look at my African-American over here. Look at him. Are you the greatest? Do you know what I'm talking about?
From WNYC in New York, it's a convention call-in. I'm Brian Lehrer. We've been inviting Trump supporters to call in and tell us your feelings about the talk of Trump being a bigot. That's been pretty central to the national discussion this primary season. Now we'll let the Trump skeptics and undecideds back into the conversation. You've been hearing the arguments this hour of people who support Trump, despite his alleged, at least, bigotry or denying that he's a bigot. They have convinced you at all, maybe, to feel better about him? And if not, what do you want to say back to the callers you've been hearing? the Latinos? Does it surprise you it was so easy to find Latinos for Trump in that last segment, or the other people for Trump in the earlier segment? Now it's your turn if you want to call and speak back to those folks as a Trump skeptic or as somebody who's undecided. You can call in, too, and tell us how you're weighing all of this. 800-543-2543. Trump skeptics and undecideds, it's your turn at 1-800-543-2543. 1-800, then count it down, 543-2543. How does your take on whether he's a bigot play into your own judgment of this election choice? And what do you want to say to any previous caller? 1-800-543-2543. And while your calls are coming in, we'll talk for a couple of minutes to Jason Riley, Wall Street Journal columnist, Manhattan Institute think tank fellow, and author of the book, Please Stop Helping Us, How Liberals Make It Harder for Blacks to Succeed. Hi, Jason. Thanks for coming on.
Good evening, Brian.
As your book title suggests, you're black and you're conservative. Just telling everybody, I saw your article in the journal that said Trump is right to battle political correctness, but his attempts to stretch the definition aren't working. What did you mean by stretch the definition?
Well, I think there's a big difference between being politically incorrect and being crude and insensitive when it comes to, and irresponsible when it comes to your rhetoric. And Trump seems to want to be able to convey this impression that being crude and insensitive and disrespectful is just political correctness run amok. And I think there is a distinction to be made there.
You do use the word bigot in your article to describe Trump's Muslim entry ban. And on some of his language about women, you call it vulgarity masquerading as politically incorrect straight talk. So are you, as somebody who's a kind of a public figure, as a conservative, planning to vote for Donald Trump?
Oh, no. I don't think I can bring myself to vote for Donald Trump, no.
Are you voting for Clinton?
No, I don't plan to vote for the top of the ticket. I'm a New York resident, so I think that Hillary will safely win New York with or without my support. I do plan to vote on some of the down ballot races, but not the top of the ticket.
So it's you're kind of an abstention of conscience, should I call it that?
Well, I don't tend to vote against people. I vote for people, and I don't see anyone in this cycle that I'm really for. I think that that Trump has played a pretty destructive role in our political conversation in this country over the past year. I just cannot bring myself to support someone who's not only degraded women, said these things about Mexicans and Muslims, degraded John McCain's military record out of one side of his mouth while claiming to be for vets out of the other side of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's pulled the Republican Party towards a more protectionist stance. I mean, there's talk of a wall in the Republican platform now. The anti-trade sentiment, I think, runs against his economic growth promises. So I just see too many contradictions
right.
there. And I see, listening to some of your callers with the Trump supporters, I see a lot of projecting there, Brian, them saying, oh, he must not really mean that, or that must be taken out of context. But he's been pretty consistent, I think, on a lot of these things. I don't think you're taking it out of context.
One more thing before you go. You know, Democrats are saying the Republican Party as a whole is to blame for Donald Trump, because Republicans usually run on the same underlying premises, just papered over with rationalizations like affirmative action is the moral equivalent of Jim Crow because it involves racial preferences, or the crack versus powder drug laws, and you know the litany of policies
right.
and code words. What's your reaction to that?
No, I think one of the reasons the party is so divided over Trump is because there are a large number of Republicans who want to frankly win elections and frankly believe that that can only be done by expanding the number of people who vote Republican. You know, Mitt Romney won the independent vote. He won 90-something percent of Republican voters in 2012 and still lost. So the only way forward for Republican victories is to increase the number of people who vote Republican. And to do that, I think a lot of Republicans think that the appeal of the party needs to extend to more minority groups, particularly the faster-growing minority groups, and Trump is not the person to do that. So if you go back and read that 2012 autopsy, so-called autopsy, of the Republican Party after Mitt Romney lost, that was the message, that the party has to do more to extend its appeal to non-traditional groups. And I think that is part of the frustration of a lot of more conservative people like me in this country who tend to agree with most of what Republicans stand for but cannot abide Donald Trump.
Jason Riley's book is Please Stop Helping Us, How Liberals Make It Harder for Blacks to Succeed. And he writes columns for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Roberto in Miami, you're on the air. Roberto, thanks for calling in.
Hi, good evening.
So we're in the pushback portion now. So I think you've been waiting a while to say what to all these callers.
Yeah, I can't believe that that any Latin person would, in their right mind, vote for Donald Trump. You had a caller that was talking about, you know, his family coming through Mexico, who, you know, himself availed himself of that opportunity, and he's obviously, it seems like he's a good citizen, made something of his life, his parents did something. So, you know, just because people come from Mexico doesn't mean that everybody's coming here to do illegal things or commit crimes here. I think Trump is a manipulator. I'm sure his kids talk about him well, because otherwise they're probably not going to inherit the funds that they'd like to inherit. I don't know if you read the article in the New Yorker, you know, about the ghostwriter that he used for The Art of the Deal. The guy would call The Art of the Deal, if he would, to write it again, the sociopath.
Yes, and we're going to have that guy, by the way, on the New Yorker Radio Hour on Saturday, which WNYC distributes. But, Roberto, thank you very much for starting us off for this segment. And Tracy in College Park, Maryland, you're on the air. Hi, Tracy.
Yes, thank you. Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to address something that your caller, Sal, called in about earlier. Basically, Donald Trump is an idiot, and if he didn't have all of that money, he never would have made it. You know, the thing is, Trump is the candidate of the apocalypse. The entire nation is worn out with a do-nothing political system. And everybody is so frustrated until they will elect Donald Trump simply because the nation believes that he will burn the whole thing down. And you get to start over. It'll be like, you know, the Phoenix. Congress hadn't done anything. You can't get anything done. They refused to work with President Obama. So, you know, he was like frozen for 8 years. There's been no progress. The rich keep getting richer. The poor keep getting poorer. There is no middle class.
So Trump, you're saying, is the boiling over of all this frustration to somebody who's going to actually be a strong man, dare I use that word, enough to do something, anything?
Well, the only good thing is the possibility that Trump will destroy the entire Washington political system. Because I believe that once he comes to power, what he's going to do is he's going to go after every senator or a rep that does not agree with him, and he's going to call them out, and you know the people are going to come out with their torches and you know
right.
Why aren't
so
you
we
doing
had
what?
A caller like this before that then the whole thing's going to fall apart and people are going to be so outraged at Trump and what he's creating that then the country's going to come together for something better. Is that where you're headed?
No, I don't think it's going to. I don't think it's going to be any better at all. I think it's just going to lead to ultimate chaos.
Tracy, thank you very much. We're going to bring on for a minute Pastor Savannah Hartman from the Banner Church in Tampa. She is a blogger and video poet. Now, earlier this month, she posted a poem to Facebook with the caption, "My Very Honest Thoughts About Alton Sterling and What's Happening in the Black Community." She's white. This has had 18 million views on YouTube, and here is a minute of it.
I can't imagine what it's like to be born with skin that's black, not white. I wasn't born rich, but don't get it twisted. See how I look. My white skin is my privilege. I don't get watched when I go to the mall. If I get stopped for a ticket, it doesn't end in a brawl. I don't know what it's like to go out for snacks and end up lying dead on my back. My car's never been watched or followed around. My kids don't play in parks and then get gunned down. I don't know anyone murdered for selling cigs or CDs. I've never been choked out or shot at by corrupt men in PDs. So I won't pretend to know how you feel, but I have something to say that's true and that's real. And that's that I'm sorry for how we've behaved, starting the very moment that you were enslaved. Since we came in our boats and shackled your hands and shipped you back here to work on our land. I'm sorry for scars you bear then and bore then and bear now because of wounds we have caused or allowed.
Pastor Savannah Hartman joins us now live. Pastor, thank you for giving us a couple of minutes. Can you believe your video got 18 million views? It's probably more than that by now. I haven't looked in a couple of days.
Thank you so much for having me. I kind of half and half. I can't believe it because it's me and I'm just a regular human, but I can believe it because I think everyone wants to stand for justice and the value of a human life. And so I think people just kind of held hands and got behind a message that they could rally around together. And I'm thankful that there's been some positive results because of it.
Your poem is about white privilege. I raised the possibility earlier that a reason Donald Trump gets away with this flirting with the edge, at least, of bigotry in so many directions. One reason is a function of white privilege. If a black person was they'd be run out of politics.
Absolutely, it's because he's a rich white man is why it is. I mean, think about even as quiet and timid as he was. Imagine someone like Dr. Carson saying things about, you know, entire groups of people like Muslims or Hispanics from his podium, and think of how well that would have gone over. They would have burned him at the stake.
What good do you think might have come of so many people viewing your video?
We've even been contacted by some officials, some people that are in power that have the ability to make change and kind of wanted my opinion on what we thought could help. I think some really tough conversations are being had from a leadership level. It was played at a town hall that President Obama attended, and I think that it's beginning to spur some tough conversations. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, as a white person and a person of the white community, I can admit that I have rights and privileges that, you know, that friends and family in the black community don't have.
And
you know,
it's harder for white people to talk about race than black people, I think.
Oh, yeah. If you want to make some white people mad, say that you have white privilege. They'll get real mad at you real fast.
As they got mad in some cases at Pastor Savannah Hartman from the Banner Church in Tampa. Thank you so much for coming on for a few minutes.
Thank you. You guys have an awesome day.
And back to our phone, Sarah in Jersey City. Hi, Sarah. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi. Thank you for having me. I wanted to comment briefly on the previous conversation with the Trump supporters about Donald Trump's comments about the Mexican judge, and I wanted to say how personally offensive those comments are and dangerous. I am not Latina. I am the child of immigrants, though. I'm a first-generation American, and I'm an attorney. And as someone who is an officer of the court, I just think it's horrifying to have someone suggest that simply because I am of a particular ethnicity that I cannot be, you know, I cannot do my job or I cannot be as American as someone else. And that's why I think that Trump's comment was very dangerous. I think it suggests that simply because an American is of a particular ethnicity or ethnic origin or that, you know, his parents are, that he can't be as American as everyone else.
What do you think about the callers who excused it saying, well, yeah, he said that and that's really not good. But what he really meant was this judge was a member of La Raza or had some other things that made him more activist. And it wasn't just about the group.
A lot of times, and under the law, we are judged by our actions, not necessarily what we're thinking. You know, if we have good, great thoughts and we commit horrible acts, then, you know, that's what we're judged by. And I think there's a lot of evidence that Trump's rhetoric is really dividing the country and is inspiring people to not like, you know, the people whose comments Trump, the people against whom Trump is speaking out.
Sarah, thank you very much. Marina in Freeport, Long Island, New York. Hi, Marina.
Hi. So the minister's words brought me to tears, I have to tell you. Sorry. I am an first-generation American. My family left Turkey because they were Christians and were kind of invited to leave. So I understand what it is to be the child of immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather would not speak Greek again because they were Americans now. So the idea that immigrants come to this country and don't want to be Americans is insane to me. But I really think people need to realize that people show you who they are. And Mr. Trump has shown us over and over again that he is a misogynist, that he is a racist. He has bankrupted his company multiple times. Therefore, he is not a good businessman. And having him bankrupt the United States would be disastrous for us. So when these Trump supporters go, nah, you know, he really didn't mean it. No, he did. And can you imagine another candidate who could have, say, white supremacist or, you know, a Black Panther following them, and people would be like, well, it's okay. I don't understand. They were streaming comments last night from some white supremacist group, and people don't seem to mind. I don't understand what he's done to this country that brought out so much hate and vitriol in the people of this country.
Whatever he did brought out some things that were already there. And he's become a lightning rod. Marina, thank you very much. And thanks to all of you who were our guests this hour. Thanks to all of you who called, whether it was from the pro-Trump or anti-Trump point of view. That's our convention call-in on bigotry tomorrow night in this hour on war. I'm Brian Lehrer. Convention coverage continues.